We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
My friends, today I wish to begin a study with you concerning our attitudes toward religious error. What is your attitude toward error? Surely, everyone is familiar with the fact that there are many religious errors being taught today. What should be our attitude and action toward religious error? Shall we just smile at such and fully condone it? Shall we bury our heads in the sand and just wish that all error would evaporate from our midst? Shall we fellowship any error that comes along and let all know that error is just as precious to us as to those who believe it, or as precious as truth? This subject needs to be treated in the light of biblical teaching, and that is what we're going to attempt to do. The sweet singer of Israel had this to say about error and false ways in the longest chapter of the Bible, as he wrote, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way." Psalms 119, 104, and 128. The longest chapter in the Bible is a chapter about the Bible. It is a chapter in which truth is exalted and extolled. It is a chapter in which error and false ways are denounced with fervency and finality. It is a chapter which encourages us to love truth with all our might and oppose and expose error with all of our very being. The Bible teaches the past, present, and future of religious error. Error, no doubt, will continue to exist until the Lord shall come again. The Bible has much to say in regard to the presence of false doctrines in the world. In Matthew 15:8-9, Jesus declared, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching to their doctrines the precepts of men." Again the Bible says in Matthew 16:6, "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The subsequent context reveals that he is not talking to them about literal bread, as they first imagined. In Matthew 16 and verse 12 it is revealed, "Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The King James Version says, "the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees." In every place the apostles took the message of salvation within the first century, they were confronted with false doctrines of one type or another. Sometimes it was Judaism. Sometimes it was Grecian philosophy. Sometimes it was the various superstitions of the first century of paganism and heathenism. Every book of the New Testament, without exception, deals with one or more false doctrines of the time. The world is still filled with false doctrines of our day. Nothing appears upon the surface to make us think the future will behold any change in any particular way. Error is so deeply entrenched that it gives no indication of its disappearance. Error is not easily defeated. The Bible speaks in both Old and New Testaments of false ways. Solomon, the wisest of the ages, once declared, "That is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Proverbs 14:12. Twice, in the longest chapter of the Bible, 119th Psalm, the sweet singer of Israel spoke of the hatred he felt toward every false way. Near the conclusion of the famed Sermon on the Mount, our Lord spoke of two gates, two ways, two types of travelers, and two ultimate destinations. This is what Jesus said. Are you listening? "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way, that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." Matthew 7:13-14. The narrow way is the way of truth and right. The broad way is the way of falsehood and error. If we are to have the same attitude of tolerance toward error as truth, then we must love the wide gate as much as the narrow gate. If we must love the broad way as much as the narrow way, we must fellowship those on the broad way just as quickly as those on the narrow way. We must have the same set of feelings for the destruction that ends at the broad way of life as those that enter into heaven. If not, why not? The Bible teaches that the false doctrine founded upon false ways are taught by false teachers, obviously. Simon Peter spoke of false teachers in 2 Peter 1:1-3, when he said, "But there rose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now and from old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not." The Apostle Paul warned about false teachers in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, when he said, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The Apostle of Love said this about the teachers of error in 1 John 4:1-6. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, my friends, listen to this warning of our Lord concerning false teachers and false doctrines in Matthew 7:15-20. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." In Acts 13:10-12, the apostle by the Holy Spirit said this of a false teacher, "O full of all guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Our Lord called false teachers of his day blind guides. Of them he said in Matthew 15:12-14, "Then came the disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit." This was the Lord's attitude toward false teachers and doctrines of error which they propagated. In view of all that the Bible says by way of condemnation of false teachers and false doctrines, we must be concerned about our attitude toward error today. We must expose it. We must oppose it. This is the only attitude that God will approve for those who please Him in everyday living. Perhaps it would be well to answer why this must be true. Let us consider error which cannot save. It can only condemn. Error seeks to keep people from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming obedient to His will. Jesus said in John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sin, for except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Earlier the Lord had said, "I go away, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." John 8:21. In the Great Commission, according to Mark, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Two conditions are set forth in this verse in order to be saved. They are belief and baptism. Only one condition is necessary for condemnation. That is a failure or refusal to believe in Christ. One does not have to refuse both faith and baptism in order to stand condemned. The lack of belief will condemn a soul, Jesus said. Of course, it is obvious to every intelligent student of this passage that when a man refuses to believe in Christ, he cannot scripturally be baptized into Christ. No unbeliever has ever been a proper candidate for the Great Commission baptism. Error seeks to keep people from repenting. Jesus said in crystal clear language in Luke 13:35, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. Error is utterly unable to save any man from his sins. Only truth can save. Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, And for this cause we also thank God without ceasing that when you received from us the word of the message, even the word of God, ye accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. Peter underscored the same fundamental point by saying in 1 Peter 1:22, Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. How had they purified their souls? By their obedience to the truth, the writer said. John 8:32, our Lord said, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The opposition of truth is error, and the consequences are definitely stated in the Bible. For this cause God has sent them working of error, that they might believe a lie and be damned, the apostle wrote to the Thessalonians. Why should one oppose sin? We should expose and oppose all religious error, because error denies the essentiality and the necessity of obedience to the will of God. Yet the Bible demands obedience. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-27, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then shall I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Beloved, I want you to hear what the Bible says. Are you listening? In Hebrews 5:8-9, it is said, Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. The final beatitude of the Bible, revealed in Revelation 22:14, declares, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Error must be opposed and exposed because it deceives. Paul told the Ephesians, Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5:6. The same apostle wrote to the saints at Colossae in Colossians 2:4-8, This I say, that no one may delude you with persuasiveness of speech. Take heed lest there shall be anyone that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Human wisdom has ever been interested in destroying the power of divine wisdom upon the hearts of men. It is only then that it can do its devilish and diabolical work. The Apostle Paul commanded that false teachers be marked in Romans 16:17-18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the division and occasion of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which ye learned, and turn away from them. We must oppose and expose error, because it will cause the soul of man to perish. Paul declared this great truth in 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, and he said, with all the seed of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they might all be judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Truth saves. Error leads to eternal damnation. That is why we must embrace truth and obey the truth only and reject error. Truth is from God. Error is from Satan. Truth will take us to heaven. Error will cause souls to be lost. Why not hear, believe, and obey the gospel that it may be?